this morning is one that I think is going to be familiar to most of you. It's a well-known thing that Jesus said. It comes in a well-known section of things that Jesus said. It is considered among scholars to almost be an example of poetry, the way that it is put together, the phrasing, the words, the effect that it has. So it's likely that these words won't be new to you. But regardless, I want you to listen to them again, as spoken by Jesus, as recorded by Matthew, and by the power of God's Spirit, as heard by each of us today. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about the body, or what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, but the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add even a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. See them grow. They do not labor or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of those. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry of its own. The word of the Lord. Pray with me. Lord, as we turn our hearts to you, may they now find a moment of rest. As we turn our ears to these words, might we hear in them your word. And might you speak to us. In the words of Christ, might we hear the thing that we need to know. In his name we ask. Amen. So the passage this morning is from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's basically a collection of some of the best known things that Jesus said. All of the classics are in there. And because it is beloved, we sometimes forget how many of those things are really difficult things. Jesus says some hard things to people who want to follow him. Love your enemies. Bless people when they curse you. Forgive people who hurt you or wrong you. Don't love money and stuff. Serve others, not self. Following Jesus is not easy. It's good, but it's not easy. These things are a struggle. There are many difficult challenges left to us by this man that we follow as the Son of God. Jesus said hard things. But I know for some of you, nothing Jesus said sounds more difficult than our words this morning. Do not worry. A repeated call in Scripture. Do not be concerned. Do not be anxious. The word worry in Greek literally means pulled in different directions. It's where we get an expression like falling to pieces, to be pulled apart. One translator says a divided soul. Sometimes it's translated distracted. You remember the story of the two sisters, Mary and Martha, where Jesus told Martha she was worried about too many things. That's the same word. Most often, though, it means anxious. And this isn't criticism. Almost all of us have been there. I doubt there are any of us who have not felt anxious. But this is one of those sermons that might feel very specific to some of you. Because some of us, I know, live with this reality of a kind of pulled apart spirit. We live with anxiety, being anxious. So the first thing I want to say is that you're not alone, if that's you. About 20% of the U.S. adult population and nearly 33% of the adolescent population struggle with anxiety every year. Significantly higher among females and drastically lower for people over 60. Something like 60 million Americans a year are diagnosed and treated with problematic anxiety. And that's just the ones who will admit it. So the second thing, before we talk about anxiety, is I want to say this, please hear this, if you struggle with the serious and chronic version, if anxiety for you is sort of home base, if it's a constant reality, if it's an impairment, you should genuinely consider seeking some help. Counselor or a doctor. Anxiety is very common and very real. And if you have that version, you should have some professionals help you sort it out. One of the challenges, especially where we live, is anxiety is often associated with weakness. And so many people just live with it, just trying to ignore it, embarrassed by it, and unwilling to go seek help. Some Christians even use Jesus' words to justify not needing help. Well, we just need more faith, as if that's some sort of magic cure. And even for those people, though, faith rarely changes the actual experience of anxiety, which just feeds it and adds to it. And now this thing, faith, that I should have enough of to not worry, I don't have enough of, and I worry even about that. This is not a message about not needing help because somehow Jesus magically fixes the anxiety in our brains. Don't hear it that way. If you spend a lot of time really worried about a lot of things, get some help. To the rest of us, who sometimes struggle not to expect bad news and negative outcomes, to the rest of us whose minds tend toward worst-case scenarios, usually to kind of protect ourselves from being disappointed or being surprised, to those of us who might spend an inordinate amount of time crafting what-if scenarios that almost always end poorly, but also which, thankfully, rarely ever actually happen, to us these words are a challenge, but also an invitation to have less worry, to be less divided, to have a put-together soul, less harassed by unreasonable concerns over unlikely results, to be affected by the knowledge that you are loved, that God is with you, that the Creator God has concern for your life, and nothing changes that. And it would be nice if that was a guarantee that nothing difficult is going to happen to you, that no tragedy is going to fall on you, that nothing bad is going to be part of your experience. But the scripture knows that we live in a broken world, and sometimes that lands on us. This isn't some shallow promise that there's nothing to worry about. It's an invitation not to. It's also not fatalism. It's not, oh, you can't do anything about it, it doesn't matter, it does you no good to worry. Jesus says that, but that's not what he means. It's not that shallow in Jesus' words. There's more here than admitting that we're helpless, as if that's the thing that makes worrying unproductive. This is a recognition that much of life is out of our hands. Much of our life is beyond our control, but in the midst of that experience, we trust the one who looks over it. That's the difference. We would all say worrying doesn't change anything. But what Jesus says is that worry sometimes keeps us from seeing the one who cares, the one who creates, the one who redeems. We look past the potential circumstances and challenges of what if to see the one who has proven his faithfulness, the one who is always with us. Jesus suggests that when the kingdom, when the righteousness of God is our priority, we have less to be worried about. That we find ourselves less anxious. When we look to the world and we see God at work even amongst the flowers and the birds, when we look to creation and witness the hand of a good God doing good things, our spirit has less reason to be divided. We have less anxiety. We have less temptation to focus our attention on what could go wrong. And more ability to recognize instead the hundreds and thousands of examples of what is already right. It's not just that anxiety is ineffective, which it is. It's that worrying distracts us from the goodness and the work of God. Worry puts our attentions on the things that could go bad instead of the things that are good. And worry doesn't just do nothing. It actually makes it harder for us to receive the gifts of God, hope and joy and peace. In other words, while worry almost never changes a situation, it can change us, but not for the better. The path of anxiety leads to a smaller faith, a divided soul, and a distracted life. And it takes from us the gift of the confident assurance of knowing that a loving God is at work to do good, even when some of the things in our life are not good. On one hand, this is a priority text. Jesus says this right after he talks about God and money, and he says, you can't serve two masters. This is a word to those who are putting too much concern on the earthly things of life. They're at the risk of neglecting spiritual matters. And it is a good word amidst cars and houses and landscaping and shopping, and we should hear these words. But within them, there is also a very gracious invitation to those who worry a lot. You don't need to. You're not helping God. You're certainly not helping yourself. The only thing that our worrying really accomplishes is to fragment our soul, to make ourselves tired, and to keep us from the freedom that Jesus offers to worry less. And while there's no promise here that the hard realities of suffering and struggle will never be a part of a Christian life, at heart, Jesus' words invite us to expect good things from a good God who has been good to us. To pray more and to serve more while we worry less. And it's not a magic wand. I wish you could just simply read these words and flip the switch and be done with anxiety, but it doesn't work that way. If anything, it's a dial. But I hope we can hear in this passage God inviting us to begin to worry less. To begin to let go of some of the things that are very unlikely to start with, and to carry less weight. Maybe do not worry isn't in the cards for you right now. How about do not worry so much? If do not worry about anything seems impossible, how about at least hear Jesus call you, do not worry about everything? That job is taken by someone far better at it than we are. Rather than investing our time and energy in something that doesn't really help, how can we put some of that effort into things that are good? To serving others, to helping people, to making a difference in the world, to make things better. And friends, I do know how hard some of these words are for some of you, which is why I also know how important they are. And I want you to hear them not as a criticism, not as a command, not as another thing you have to add to the list that you probably can't live up to anyway. No, these words come directly to you from Jesus Christ Himself. And they're not meant to be a burden, but to lessen your burden. This is an invitation, not a criticism. Jesus Christ is inviting you. Do not be anxious because of who God is. You do not need to. May it be true for each of us. Amen.